That was great. I've got little ones myself, 5 little grandkids. I love them. Nice to have them here. Hey, for those who like sermon titles, you know, some do, some don't, or if you want to take any notes or anything, this sermon will be entitled 4 Kinds of Stupid. So I don't know if it will fit anyone in the room besides myself, but it might. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful all our lives for your greatness and your goodness. We thank you that you bless us with today. We thank you that you bless us with your presence. And we ask again that you would come to each of us according to our need and always to your glory. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and beneficial. Amen. I am known as a pastor who sometimes tells a joke in with a sermon. What I'm about to tell you is not a joke. This is a true item from the news. There is such a thing, and it's been around for about, I think, 20, 30 years, something called the Darwin Awards. I don't know if anyone's heard of the Darwin Awards. Some of you know who Darwin was. His main teaching was the survival of the fittest. And the Darwin Awards are given out by a group each year to people who have proven that they are not the fittest, people that have not survived. Here's the true story. 2 young men in Calcutta in their early 20s were celebrating New Year's with plenty of drinks. They bought a floral garland ring at the zoo and decided to place it around the tiger's neck. They swam the moat, scaled the fence, and weaved over to the big cat. When they threw it on him, one guy was attacked. When the other intervened and kicked the tiger in the face, he was attacked also. Neither survived, but they did win a Darwin Award. And the moral of the story of such stupidity? Well, it could be several. Alcohol and tigers don't mix. Moats are to keep dangerous animals out and dangerous animals in and stupid people out. Tigers don't like flowers. Never kick a tiger in the face. Well, we could come up with some morals, but I think maybe the one to lead us into our thought tonight is we humans, despite our many modern examples of brilliance, we can be very stupid. Stupid. Now, most of us, in fact, don't need to worry about enemies, for if great harm will come to our lives, it will quite often come from ourselves and our own dumb thoughts and deeds. I think you know what I mean. Well, the Bible makes it very clear that God, among many other great things, is in the anti-stupid business. The Lord wants to impart life-giving wisdom to us, that our lives and our world might be blessed. Now, I think you know wisdom is not the same as intelligence. Intelligent people can yet do stupid things. So if I say in this sermon that some idea or some act by myself or by others, even you, is stupid, I don't mean to imply any lack of intelligence. I'm talking about foolish, harmful, dumb behavior. Now, being Norwegian myself, you might think we've cornered the market on stupid. It is said that the toughest 3 years of a Norwegian's life are fifth grade. But of course, you all know, none of us are immune to the dumb disease. Indeed, one of the common ways that we sin as human beings is not by intentional, wicked plans to hurt someone or hurt ourselves, but often by mere foolishness. by mere neglect of God's instruction and the resulting foolish damage that is done. Well, perhaps this evening by refreshing ourselves on four kinds of stupid that appear in today's texts, we can better avoid them, again plead for mercy, and so honor God with lives more in keeping with his will. So as we look through these four, I guess I'd invite you to see which, if any, fits you, and thus drive you again to the cross of Christ. For we aren't in the guilt and shame business. That's why not why we do this. We're in the repentance and renewal business. And indeed, for that to happen, sometimes we've got to look at ourselves. For God calls us to wisdom from foolishness. And if we'll listen and follow his call, there's plenty of hope for whatever kind of stupid we've got. Well, our second lesson, as you heard that read, began with, let me grab my text. The second lesson from Paul to the Ephesians included our first example of stupid. It'll be no stranger to most of us in our families. Verse 15 says, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Okay, first kind of stupid we're going to think about is this word. We don't use this word much anymore, debauchery. When's the last time you heard that word? Debauchery. I trust you're familiar. I don't mean personally so much as at least exposed to. Debauchery is usually associated with alcohol, as in this text, drunk with wine. And St. Paul makes perfectly clear, do not do that. It's extremely stupid. As unintended words are spoken, or brawls break out, or babies are conceived, or motorists are killed, or families are destroyed, or futures are flushed away, all via the demon drink. Though the TV commercials make it look like some innocent party punch, myself and many in this room, I'm sure, can share true tales of lives damaged and sometimes ruined, instigated by alcohol. Don't be stupid. Debauchery, the dictionary explains, is not just about alcohol. The word means extreme indulgence of one's appetites, a wasteful squandering. So one can be debauched, not only by liquor or other chemicals, but by any overindulged enjoyments. So the possibilities for stupidity, for debauchery, are broad. We must each do our own inventory. But we know one kind of stupidity is overindulgence. Well, the second lesson continues in verse 18, and it says this: "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Making melody in our hearts. Great. Now, this kind of stupidity is an example of not doing that. How many people have no melody in their heart, no thanks to God? They trudge along step after step, a weary journey. And to do so, I suggest to you, is stupid. It's a stupid behavior. For we know who we are, do we not? We are given all things in this life by our Father's open hand. An incredible creation, caring people, ample opportunities and gifts, a privileged era and century in which to live, and on top of it all, his steadfast grace and a glorious eternal future. So what's with the dull heart and the glum outlook? It's stupid. We of all people have reason to rejoice. For Christianity is not naive optimism, some kind of plastic, perky Pollyanna. Oh no. We know there's trouble. We got our share of sorrows. But we also, of all people, we also have the great news. And when we know that gospel, that grace, that heaven, when we keep that in view, there is an authentic and deep joy that flows and sustains us through all circumstances. So I suggest to you that joylessness is a second kind of stupidity that plagues many. Somehow they're missing it. They're missing the greatness and goodness of our God. Don't do that. He loves you. He's got you covered. He wins in the end. So you've got two kinds. I don't know if you're seeing anything yet of yourself. Perhaps so. Don't worry, I'm going to leave a little room at the end for each of us to pray and think and let God work on us in those areas. But there are two more. The other two stupids are in the gospel text. We're continuing in John, the sixth chapter. I suppose Pastor Dave has been preaching on that pretty regularly, as most of us Lutherans have been. But in this portion, it starts out this way. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? These are educated people. These are people of the word. These are people who have some religious, spiritual ideas, and yet what are they? They're taking his word as just a kind of a rank, literal sort of approach. They think he's going to give them a finger to have a bite. I mean, what's wrong with their thinking? So in this case, it's an obstinate literalism that's a stupid approach. I think we get this one as well. People both inside and outside the church are still plagued very often by literalism. Not all of Scripture is to be taken at its lowest, most factual level, like this text. It's not about cannibalism. Is that what they thought? How could they think such a thing? Now, we humans often struggle with truth, with communication, how that's done. And the Western mind, the left brain mind, wants plain facts and figures, scientific-type truth. And that's good to have. It's critical to have. We've been blessed through that. But that's not all there is to truth. There's more to it than that. And once we understand that there is also a higher poetic truth, there are parables, there are figures of speech, there are levels of meaning, a whole dimension of understanding our God and enjoying him opens up. Literalism is stupid. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that we all fall into the opposite ditch of reductionism, as if it all reduces to whatever you want it to mean and just be tolerant. Oh, no, no. That's not me. That's not us. That's a different kind of stupid. But this is on display in this text. Well, the fourth and last one comes out of verse 56 in our gospel. Jesus says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. In him. We abide in him. If you want to abide in God and have God in you, the Lord is telling us you got to take him in. Jesus has to come in you. Be in you. If you want spiritual strength, if you want more love in your heart, more insight in your head, more character under fire, it doesn't come by wishing you had it. Eat and drink, Jesus says. To fail to do so is the stupidity of malnourishment. How common is this one? We think about things. We got a few ideas. We hope things are right. And somehow we fail to take the Lord in and let Him nourish us. Many a believer malnourished because they're not eating properly. They take in the junk food of TV or internet and they let the scripture lie unread. They're a bit isolated from the church. They're probably starving for peace, but they don't have time to come to the Lord's table, to neglect the nourishment God offers. In prayer and scripture, in community and communion, is stupid. Perhaps it's a lot like Ole. I suppose I have to slip in one Norwegian joke. Ole goes to the doctor. He's got a carrot in his nose, a cucumber and a banana sticking out of his ears. And Ole says, "Doc, what's the matter with me? What's the matter with me?" And the doctor looks him over rather quizzically and says, "Well, Ole, you're not eating properly." Stupid? Stupid. Well, so with us. If we fail to take what the Lord is offering to us. And so I thank you, even as a guest pastor, that you are here to get nourished. And I trust you know you need it, as do we all. We feast upon the Word of God. We feast at the table. We let God have His way with us. So the four kinds of stupidity were these, huh? Debauchery, joylessness, literalism, malnourishment. Let's close with just a few seconds, maybe a minute, of silent prayer to bring these matters before God and let him do His gracious work in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You for Your steadfast love and grace to each of us. Have mercy on our failings and sins, and feed us again with Yourself, always to Your glory. Amen. We continue then with our next hymn.